When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian. Okay, guys, Audible is offering our listeners a free 30-day trial membership and a free audiobook. All you've got to do is go to audible.com/exercise. They've got over 180,000 audio programs. Audible content has audiobooks, broadcasting, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, business information providers, you name it. I personally am reading the Einstein Prophecy right now. That's very interesting. I highly recommend it. That's audible.com/exercise, E-X-E-R-C-I-S-E. Check it out.
You're listening to The Jillian Michaels Show. And now, Jillian Michaels.
Hello, Manus.
Hello, Jillian.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, some personal things, which I will be able to talk a little bit more about a little bit later.
You're dating.
No.
Ooh.
No, not dating.
Okay.
No, quite happy with that, though. Quite happy with the celibacy thing, let me tell you.
Oh, God. That's because you brainwashed yourself into thinking this is...
I'm reclaiming
monk.
This celibacy. It's a wonderful... That very handsome man across the street coming with his scarf and his hat.
Okay.
That's D.L. Hughley.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It is, too.
Okay. Are you going to go straight now?
No.
That's what it took. It took the biracial thing to get her going.
Nice.
Bam!
He's a cool dude.
Yeah.
He's very handsome.
He's coming right in here.
Come on, Janice. Yeah. Get out there.
Is that...
Don't fart, though.
Yeah, remember the one fellow I farted?
Oh.
I ruined that. I know. I was ruined for you.
Terrible. Come on, you didn't help by calling him in the studio.
Well, you stuck your ass outside the door, ripped one. He was already there. Like, the damage was done.
Well, better out there than in here.
Okay. You sure you don't want to go?
We could. He probably walked right in and go grab him.
No. Yeah, go
get him. No, it's okay. I'm good. Okay. Now, did you have a little something to...
As another one. Oh, another cute guy. You're straight all of a sudden. This might be why you're celibate. Maybe you've been a closet hetero all these years.
No. Are you ready to come out?
I think it is time.
No.
We've often suspected, haven't we, Jake?
That I'm straight?
We've known the whole time. We think this is why you haven't been with anybody.
Oh.
Come out of that closet, girl.
Oh, no.
Come on, buddy. We'll still
love
you.
Ain't gonna happen.
Come on, Janice.
I'm a self-proclaimed butch.
You're not, though. You're a bottom. Which also is
no,
probably
I'm a
worst.
Lazy top.
So you're a bottom.
I'm not a bottom.
No, you... Buddy.
Jillian, I am not a bottom.
You're a bottom.
No, no.
Is there such a thing as a bottom in a...
Really?
Yeah,
some people are more equal, but some couples are definitely top/bottoms, and Janice is a bottom.
How does that work? Because with guys, obviously, there is a...
She just lays there, basically.
Oh. Yeah, that's lazy.
Yeah. Well, in the gay world, with guys, there's a very clear bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, Janice just lays there, and then
all right,
whoever
then what would,
do there do?
Then what are you?
I'm more versatile. Top tending, though.
Well, I think I am tending, too.
No, I've seen some of your
trending.
Exes, and you are a bottom. I'll tell you right now.
Maybe she is straight.
I think maybe.
Oh, please.
Janice will love you
do
anyway.
Do we have something to discuss here besides?
Okay. What are the rules again?
The rules.
No eating.
Don't say f***.
Stop it.
Don't make fun of the spots.
And don't make comment on the spots. Oh, dear. Okay. Now.
I did have something I was going to tell you about.
I know you do.
I didn't really have time. I haven't had time to dig through all this Vietnam stuff.
I saw very cool pictures that you posted.
Yeah.
I saw some really cool. There was one beautiful one of you in a mark. There was just the colors. I love.
Oh, that was Hanoi. Yeah, Hanoi was rad.
God,
I liked Hanoi
it was
a lot.
Beautiful.
Here's the thing about Vietnam. Southeast Asia is never quite. 10 years ago, I went to Laos, Thailand, and Cambodia. Angkor was cool, but it's like Disneyland, man. It's just like, you literally feel like you're at Disneyland. Gazillions and gazillions and gazillions of tourists. Mm. And Thailand has become like that for me, too. I thought Vietnam might not be like that. And honestly, it is. In a lot of very on-the-beaten-path kind of places. And I think that was a mistake that we made, is we were like, well, we don't have a ton of time. So, you know, what are the must-sees? Oh, you know, Hanoi, Saigon, or Ho Chi Minh City. I'd say Saigon, because most of the people from Saigon say Saigon. Halong Bay, whatever. But the interesting thing about Southeast Asia is that I don't ever quite, it's going to sound ridiculous, I don't ever quite feel like I'm away. You know, like you're in Japan, you're on another planet.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You're in India, you're on another planet. You're in Africa, and a giraffe walks past you, you're on another planet. You know what I mean? You're in another world.
Yeah.
It's very, you know, it's very westernized. And there's no more, it's not Indochine. You know, there's no, it's not Miss Saigon. You know what I'm saying? Like, old Asia is gone. Unless it's in Myanmar, which is the only spot I haven't been that just opened up. So I think if there's a time to go, you go now. But the one thing, and the other interesting thing about Vietnam that I was trying to kind of understand is that a lot of them are freaking atheist, which is really bizarre for a country in that part of the world, right?
I thought it would have been strong Catholic there for some
very
reason.
very little. Predominantly, those who are religious are predominantly Buddhist. I think like 10% is Catholic. And then there's not, you know, even in Thailand, like they've got their Muay Thai, you know, they've got like different countries have their different forms of martial arts, or, you know, India's got like yoga over thousands and thousands of years. And then there's Muay Thai over here, and there's Thai massage over there. And then have serious, crazy Buddhism like in the blood in India. It just, in Vietnam, there's not anything to really hang your hat on. And it's not like over bazillions and bazillions of years, we've extrapolated this form of blank, you know, or you don't, there's not like the thing to buy, the thing to try, the thing to do, the food, actually.
Pho.
The food, pho, which is fantastic,
yes.
Right? Which is like this noodle soup, and it's either chicken or beef, and I was getting it vegetarian because I wasn't eating, going on this whole another story for a different day. But so the food's great, right? And that's uniquely Vietnamese. But even like, as I was trying to kind of, I'm like, well, there's nothing to buy. There's nothing to try other than the food. I was looking at the country, and I'm like, well, it's pretty, but there's like scooters and everything's in the Roman alphabet, and it's tourists everywhere. And okay. The one thing I realize is that this is a country that's been at war for about 1,200 years.
Yeah.
So they were at war with China for 1,000 years. Then they were at war with the French for a little over 100 years. Then they were at war with us for, quite honestly, about 20 years from a financial perspective. And then, you know, we obviously got in there and had troops on the ground. And in that time, I don't really think that there was an ability to kind of be like, this is ours. This is uniquely Vietnamese, because they were so busy constantly having invasions from different...
of other cultures.
Right. Yeah. So it's like the French came in and changed their language, which was Chinese, because the Chinese came in and gave them that alphabet. Then, you know, it's just like... I thought that was fascinating. So in looking at that, I'm like, all right, imagine, and then you go visit like the Cochi Tunnels, which is where the Viet Cong had built this entire underground city just outside of, like, an hour and a half outside of Saigon. And it's, I mean, you, when you learn the things these guys did, they would make shoes out of tires from American trucks, and they would wear them backwards so the troops could never figure out where they were. I mean, they were brilliant. They were geniuses. Like, they would create these booby traps out of shrapnel from bombs that we would drop that wouldn't detonate. Like, everything they had to fight us, they got from us. They took batteries off of us for their tunnel. Everything they figured out. And, like, their strategy with, like, one gazillionth of the resources, they managed to turn against us and defeat the war, beat us at the war. And one of the interesting things about that, of course, is that I am an American. Mind you, I was born, you know, in 74, which is the year the war came to an end. But I'm having a conversation with one of our guides in Hanoi, who's my age, a little younger than me. And he's telling me about Vietnam as he's growing up. And it's like, you know, they went through this whole period of not having food, of just, you know... There are people alive today, my age, that were born in those tunnels. So on one part of the world, I'm being born at, you know, some hospital room, and at the same time, someone who's born on the same day as me in Vietnam is being born in one of those tunnels, 30 meters underground, you know, with no fresh air, in the dark, with bombs exploding overhead. I mean, and yet, when you look at the country now, it's booming. It's on the up and up. It's still communist, but it's really weird because it's not. There's like a Prada on every corner. There's independent business. There's a Vietnamese billionaire. Like, things are privately owned. They're not owned by the state. So it's definitely confusing. I don't understand the politics of it or the socioeconomic status, but tourism is off the chain. The people, here's the part that's the most interesting. Beyond the food, if I was to say there was one unique thing to Vietnam that I will never forget, it's the people. They are, A, so smart. I mean, unbelievably intelligent. B, so nice, like suffocatingly nice, to the point where you're like, I'm good. No, I got it. No, really. I'm good. No, we're good. No, we're good. Don't disturb. Like, I mean, it's just like so nice and so accommodating. They're not jaded. And it's a young country. So a lot of the people are, you know, honestly, like, they're young. They're predominantly millennials. Like, 40 and under, like, edge of the Gen X, and then millennials.
Because they would have lost a generation.
Yeah, they lost a freaking generation. Yes.
Yeah, they lost it.
And there are still some that are kind of left over. But it, not many. And I was like, I don't understand. How is it that you're so open? Because it's like Americans, French people, Chinese people, they're everywhere. We're all there. The French are there. The Chinese are there. The Americans are there. The Aussies are there. And the Aussies were in Vietnam, by the way, on our side. The American side. I don't want to say our side. The American side. And, they've started over. And I don't understand. Like, even here now, you've got, I guess because prejudice is still very alive and well in this country, I hate to say. But, like, you have kids that are African American that are 20 years old, and it's like the 60s right now for that generation still. You know, you've got a 12-year-old boy with a play gun that was shot 12 times by police just happened to be African American. That shit is still alive and well in America. We don't move on. They've moved on, and they're thriving. But how is that possible?
But what you're saying, it. But when you
forgiveness, resilience.
But
ingenuity.
You're saying, though, what's their identity? Are you still trying to grab onto what their
I think their identity, if I was to say right now, right, what it is, it would be resilience, it would be forgiveness, and it would be ingenuity and the talent of reinvention.
Do you think it comes from like our values versus their values? Because everyone over here is like, my freedoms, my guns, I need, you know.
They don't do that there.
Right. So that's what everyone here is like valuing that crap. No. And then it's like makes them into not so great.
So they're peaceful people.
Yeah, they are. I mean, like they want change in their country, but they don't want violence. So they want to try to do what Myanmar has done. With Aung San Suu Kyi, who's like the female Gandhi, although that took 20 years, but they don't want Egypt. They don't want Libya. You know, they don't want violence. But I just looked at this and I was like, I find it amazing that they could forgive all these Americans, Chinese, French. They don't hold grudges. And in not holding a grudge, they've not only been able to move on, they've been able to thrive and flourish, which I just think is incredible.
I've been dying to ask you
which
this.
Which is something I've never been able to do.
Did you find, like, you know, throughout Europe, there's memories, there's significant...
World War II.
World War II. Yep. Everywhere, cemeteries and Auschwitz, you know, I mean, there's yep. definite reminders. Is there in Vietnam?
Yes. War Remnants Museum in Saigon. There's the Cu Chi tunnels right outside
right,
of Saigon.
The tunnels, right,
yes, they remember. And yes, at the War Remnants Museum, they call it the American War, not the Vietnam War, obviously. And, you know, they're like war crimes by America.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But remember, that's been there since 69.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, all that propaganda about the war, et cetera, has been there since the 60s. But they don't go, they don't visit, they don't, you know, they'll talk to you about it if you ask, and they'll explain to you, oh yeah, these tunnels and blah blah blah, and oh yeah, we got the war remnants, but they don't, like, they'll pick you up on their scooter and take you from A to B. They don't look at you and go, oh, American. Not at all. They don't stop and go, we were wronged. No, they're moving on, dude. They're moving on. They're like, tourism, yes, America, welcome, money, come on.
So maybe that is there, you know, when you said searching for their identity, you're absolutely
right. But had they held on to these grudges, mm-hmm. right, they would never be where they are.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at a kid who is a guy who's my age, right, whose father fought in the war. My dad didn't have to fight in the war by some fluke. Whose father fought in the war, who lost relatives. And, you know, he and I are having a conversation, like, we could be... I said to Heidi, I was like, I'd hang out with this guy if he lived... He would be one of our group.
Yeah. Isn't it bizarre when you think about parallel lives? Like,
yes.
Someone parallel... Not, like, completely opposite. Your upbringing's completely opposite, but walk in the world in parallel.
Opposite. Yeah. Yes. So, I don't know. I just thought that kind of resilience and that kind of ingenuity and just... To be so smart and to be so war-torn and to be so... sweet was just such a dichotomy. I couldn't wrap my brain around mm-hmm. it. So I think if I'm going to take something away from this, I realize that to move forward, you have got to let go. And, you know, I'm the queen of a grudge. Like, I'll get you. I will get you. I remember shit that happened 25 years ago. I'm like, back when I was in the seventh grade, I nailed that bitch Kem Tepper on my Don't Just Jillian. Just watch. I out her. Like that fucking bully. Fuck you. Sorry, Janice. Quack that shit. But it's like, I don't let that shit go. Ever.
Well, you're not alone. I mean, we are a culture of
resentment. I grab that and I just...
Hold resentment, on! So that's just...
I will
just
get you! Yeah, all right.
Well, very cool.
All.
That was interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back.
All right, calling all my chefs out there who don't have time to cook anymore, check out plated.com. These guys have gourmet chefs who design recipes every week. You can go online. You can pick out recipes that you like. It doesn't matter if you're vegetarian, if you're a meatitarian, a.k.a. paleo. They've got a recipe for you. They deliver everything right to your door on the date that you choose. The plated box your food comes in will keep everything fresh until midnight on the day that it arrives. We're talking about chef quality meals in 30 minutes or less. There's no waste with money. There's no waste with ingredients. And if you go to plated.com/Jillian now, you can get a free dinner for two with your first purchase. That's plated.com/Jillian. And I highly recommend the mushroom pappardelle with mascarpone cheese. That's the one I'm into. Plated.com/Jillian. All right. Foods that make you hungrier.
Oh, okay.
AKA the devil.
The devil. All right. Devil. Foods that make you hungrier.
Yes. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Obviously, white flour. White flour, Janice. In a recent Spanish study, researchers tracked the eating habits and weights of more than 9,000 people and found that those who ate two or more servings of white bread a day were 40% more likely to become overweight or obese over a 5-year period compared to those who ate less of it.
Just bread, or are you talking white flour and like cookies and all that?
I say this is actually on, this I found on Time, but I'm elaborating and kind of taking it into my own hands as always. Theirs is white bread, but it says the white flour used to bake bread. But the reason, think about it, is because there's no fiber, there's no nutrients, and it spikes the hell out of your insulin. And insulin obviously is a hormone released by your pancreas to take sugar out of the bloodstream. But when you eat things that turn into sugar very quickly and dump a ton of sugar into your bloodstream, like white flour, juice, things that have no fiber, that get metabolized very quickly, right? Like the tissue on the fire, whoosh, it just incinerates. Well, bam, that's how quickly it's turning into, right? As opposed to, let's say, if we use that as an analogy, and you took, let's say, steel cut oats, right? And you add oatmeal versus a piece of white bread.
Right, right.
White bread. Yeah. Think of steel cut oats as like a log on that fire, in comparison to the white bread, which would be like a tissue. Then what happens is insulin pulls all the sugar out of the blood very quickly, and we'll put it in, stored in as fat. I'm giving you a terrible, terrible screwed up lesson in biochemistry. But the bottom line is it crashes your blood sugar.
Okay.
So that makes sense. It makes you hungry again.
Yeah.
So essentially that's what insulin does. Oh, a ton of insulin goes in, gets dumped into the system, pulls all the sugar out of the blood, and it gives you, hence, a sugar. That's what a sugar crash is.
Okay.
But it makes you hungrier. So white bread, juice. And, of course, this is such an issue because everybody is juicing these days. But
what's with the resurgence of the juicing? It's so true.
Because everybody is always like, oh, I'm cleansing. Oh, I'm adding in. I'm adding in. I'm adding in. Which is why I like T's philosophy of Kaizen, because it's about removing bad stuff.
Right.
Not adding a bunch of stuff in to counteract the bad stuff. First, it's like going back to master your metabolism. Remove, restore, rebalance. First take out the bad, then put in the good, and you'll rebalance your system.
Gotcha.
So, you know, juicing, I've always said, you should juice your vegetables. You should eat your fruit. Because with vegetables, there's not a ton of sugar. There's very, if any, you know, a tiny bit in a few vegetables. But greens, no. You could juice greens all day long. And it would allow you to get more phytonutrients, right? Because with greens, you'd have to eat a ton of greens to get all the phytonutrients you want, which would make you, like you, extremely gassy. Mm-hmm. With juice, you're getting all that sugar of all those pieces of fruit without the fiber. With vegetables, you're getting all the phytonutrients. Even though the fiber is a good thing, you're able to get like the phytonutrients of a whole, you know, two bags of spinach. So juicing vegetables is great. Juicing fruit, limited.
Not so good. Okay.
Yeah, like I'd say throw an apple in with a host of other vegetables.
Yeah.
So it's palatable. And that's the only reason. So it's palatable.
Okay.
So juice, no. Okay. And if you are going to do that, I would do fruit in like a food processor with yogurt to make a smoothie. So you're still getting the fiber with the fruit. You're not stripping the fiber. It's different. Like a blender is very different than a juicer. I'd rather see you blend fruit so it has fiber.
Oh, okay.
Huh?
Yeah,
huh?
That makes sense.
All right. Salt. Salt, man.
Oh, well, that's where you can eat chip after peanut, and it never, ever stops.
Yes. And, of course, a lot of times these salty snacks are loaded with simple, or you know, or poured all over simple carbohydrates, which boost the insulin again. But it also can give you a converse craving for something sweet. But you know, a lot of times these
kettle
people...
corn. Oh God, I love kettle corn.
Okay. Oh dear God. So have you ever watched? This is fascinating. I watched this thing. I think it was on like, shoot, I feel like it was on Nat Geo, but it was about food and junk food and the chemistry of junk food, and they were talking about Doritos.
Okay.
And they were saying that Doritos did something brilliant. They have this blend of flavors on the chip so that you never quite get sick of the flavor. Because there's so many different flavors, it's not one flavor that you're like, I've got it. I have a feeling of satiety.
On just their regular Dorito.
All of their chips. Really? That's why they're like, you can never eat just one. Is that Doritos or Lay's? It's the same concept.
I think that's Lay's. Like, anyway.
It's the same,
really?
Yeah. There's a whole thing about like biochemistry and satiety and yes. And
how bizarre that
it's not just salt. It's
play
like a
with
bunch
our
of stuff.
Brains.
Oh, dude. Well, then the next one on this list here is fast food. But a lot of the stuff that they're talking about are things like high fructose corn syrup, trans fats, artificial sweeteners. And a lot of times these things will A, cause insulin spikes, but B, they'll also cut down the body's release of leptin, which is a hormone that controls hunger. Okay. So these things mess with your biochemistry. So they say, for instance, trans fat inflames the gut, potentially impairing the body's ability to produce appetite-controlling transmitters such as dopamine and serotonin.
But does anything have trans fat in it anymore? Not really.
Yeah, they do. We're still phasing it out. It's like a multi-year process of phasing it out.
Wow.
Yeah. It's going to take several years to phase out, at least in the States.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is another big one. This is why I always say alcohol. Oy,
hey.
Dude. I know it's been a while for you, Manis. But they say three drinks can massively slash your body's production of leptin, which is that hunger hormone. And it can decrease a feeling of fullness by 30%. And it also depletes your carbohydrate stores, which causes you to crave carbs.
Sure, which is why you go get the drunken hoagie.
Yes.
In the middle of the night.
That's right, McManus. Yeah, white pasta, which is exactly what I said, white flour. MSG, which is a flavor enhancer. But again, ready for this? This one, see, think of it. These are all fake foods, right? All of these things. Trans fats, high fructose corn syrup,
right.
All this crap. And look at what it does. So they're showing you all these studies. So one animal study, this is also from Spanish researchers, this is about MSG, suggests that the MSG chemical triggers a 40% increase in appetite. And according to research published in the journal Obesity, that's the journal, medical journal, people who consume the most MSG are nearly three times more likely to be overweight than those who don't eat it at all. The effects of leptin, a satiety hormone made by fat cells, are blunted by the damaging effects of MSG on the hypothalamus. These chemicals F with your biochemistry, and your metabolism is your biochemistry. They literally tell your body to be fat, to continue eating. They mess with that whole balance. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that bananas, Manis?
Well, yeah,
I already did artificial sweeteners all by myself. Kids' cereals. I mean, this is the same crap.
Yep.
Yeah, it's, you know, fake everything. Tons of sugar. Massive insulin swings. They put pizza here. Let's see. Why did they put pizza?
Oh, for sure.
Pizza makes you more hungry?
Yes.
Really?
You can eat like one slice. Forget it.
Here's why. Well, see, we get pizza. This is interesting. We get pizza from this organic place in Malibu that uses like whole grain bread, like hormone-free meat. Not that I've been eating a ton of meat, but... So they're saying that because it's white flour, hydrogenated oils, processed cheeses, preservatives in the meat, throw blood sugar levels, satiety hormones, and hunger regulating regions of the brain to the wolves, basically, is what they're saying, which is interesting. Yeah. So those are the things to really that'll make you hungrier, man.
Each and every one of them make complete sense to me.
Mm.
I've experienced the hunger from all of them, which is why I cannot have them in the home.
It's like an Arctic blizzard in here now. Can we just turn the air off?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wannable.com, of course, /Jillian. But check this company out. So these guys navigate the world of fashion, and they bring you the latest trends personalized just for you, delivered right to your doorstep. They've got a fitness apparel subscription if you want one, but basically it's like having your own stylist. Nicole made me fill out this whole questionnaire. I'm not kidding. Inseam, sizes, likes, dislikes, activities. And it's kind of cool actually. And then they send you a box of clothes that are put together. Go to wannable.com/Jillian to get started with a fitness quiz. Well, there's no obligation to keep anything.
You can
can send it back if you don't like it.
Yeah, you can choose the prices that you want to pay. Mm-hmm. They've got designer brands. You can try all the stuff on in your house. They've got 1 to 10,000 different boxes of all unique things. Oh, this is neat. Wow. Go to wantable.com/Jillian, WANTABLE.com/my name, Janice. Janice, you need this.
Okay, we're back, and all the way from Nebraska, Jillian, Stephanie has a question for you.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you, Jillian?
I'm good. What's going on, bud?
Well, my husband and I, we just had a baby, a little boy, and he's amazing. But it's kind of causing some conflicts in our marriage.
Oh, God.
So I wanted to call him a love doctor.
See, this is what, you know what's so funny about this is that we, you may or may not know that I have this show, and it's about kind of my life, my friends, my family, and we touch on this. And, you know, the kids are, now we've had, my son's 3.5, so we've had both kids for 3.5 years, but Heidi wants another kid, and it's this issue that we're having, and I am like, look, it took us, it almost killed us, you know, when we first tried to kind of acclimate, and we're just starting to see the light of day. It's a really difficult transition for people that nobody talks about. So going on?
Well, so I'm in college, and I'm working, and I'm green for a half marathon, and I'm doing a bunch of other things, and I think my husband is starting to feel like I'm leaving him behind. He's kind of, he has trouble being on his own without me, and I'm kind of the default parent. I'm doing a terrible job of explaining this. I'm sorry.
No. So I get the leaving him behind thing. How's it playing into the parenting side of things?
Well, with the parenting side of things, I'm the main parent. I'm the presence that's there.
Okay.
My husband, when he's home, I feel like he feels like he needs to escape, and so he's constantly playing video games. And when he's playing video games, he has a headset on. So, I mean, he can't even hear me when I talk to him. He can't even hear my son when he cries.
Yeah.
So it's, in a way, it's like,
how old is your
son? Home, he's not home, and I'm the parent.
Okay.
And if I need his help,
it's
a favor that he's doing me. It's not like he's doing it because he's a parent as well.
All right, wait. Okay, wait. So how old is your son again? I'm sorry.
My son is 8 months old.
Okay. And has he consistently been this way, or did he like slip off somewhere?
I think it was when I started going back to school.
And when was that?
That was, my son was about 3 months old.
Okay. So he was doing okay up until then?
He was being amazing. I mean, like, he still is a completely devoted father, but, I mean, he's devoted when I'm not there, and it's almost like he tunes out when I am because he thinks I'm not working as hard as he is. Me going to school is my dream, but it's not his dream. And so sometimes I feel like him taking his attention away might be kind of like
punishment.
A punishment.
Yeah, okay. All right. I don't think this actually has anything to do with your kid. I keep looking for that. It doesn't sound like it does at all. It sounds like it's exactly what you said. Like you're seeking evolution and growth in your life. Mm-hmm. That's threatening him. And he, you're right. His defense mechanism is to shut you down and shut you out.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I think that sometimes he feels like he might be a little bit alone as a guy.
How do you mean?
Does that make any sense?
Explain
it. Like that my roles as a wife and a mother should erase everything else. And that I should be more devoted or something. I don't know how to put it.
Okay, I get it. Right, well, that's a very, and I don't mean he's childish, but that is a very primal feeling. I remember having that feeling about my parents until I was a parent, where I was like, I don't understand
interesting.
Why I'm not your everything. I don't understand why you can't get over your issues. I don't understand why you couldn't be there for this or be there for me or not be like that. Until I was a parent, I was like, wait a minute. I'm more than just a mom, right? I mean, I'm still me. I still love the things I love. I still love my work. I still love my partner. I still like my friends. I still want to do this. I still want to do that. And I didn't understand that until I was a parent. And I was angry at both my parents for their limitations and in actuality for being more than just my parent and all those things that let me down. It sounds like he has this very sort of primal issue that was never resolved. In which case, I would simply, here's the tough part. We can speculate about what he's feeling, but that's a really dangerous game to play. I mean, we will, but then at the end of this, I'm going to encourage you. You got to know what he's thinking, because it's very easy for us to presume and project, right, our issues, our feelings onto our significant other. And it could be something totally different. But with that said, what is his relationship like with his parents? Does he feel angry at them? Does he feel let down by them? Has he been in touch with any of that stuff?
Actually, his relationship with his parents is amazing. It's my relationship with my parents that's the mess, actually, of the two of us. They've kind of taken me in as a second child when my own family wasn't really there. So.
Yeah, but there's something going on here. Like, the fact that he's threatened by you growing, evolving, means that he's somewhere he has felt abandoned before. Somewhere means that he's got, like, some sort of deep-seated insecurities.
He never succeeded in school. He's very smart, but he's not school smart, if that makes sense.
Okay.
He always felt less than
because of it. Okay.
And now I'm doing really, really well in school. And I think that
that's
he thinks that because I'm succeeding, it means that he's failing.
Okay.
And I mean, he's the kind of person, he's very quiet. So getting information on
so
his
hard.
Feelings from him is really hard.
Heidi's
but that's
like
kind
that.
Of what I've put together.
Drives me nuts. Okay. Sweetie, here's what you need to do. Again, we could speculate on what's going on with him. But the only way to really know is to get him to talk. And
yeah.
I think you need to come at this from a very loving place, but a very honest place where he can't do the, because this is what we deal with this on the show where I'm like, what's the matter? Nothing.
Yeah.
What's going on? Nothing. Honey, you seem upset. I'm fine. And I mean, like, literally. And then all of a sudden it's like in the next scene, she's like, you work too much and you this and you that. And it's like,
yeah,
you gotta, you have to go to him. And I would just say, listen, honey, I feel like there's a distance between us and it's growing. Not because we don't love each other. And he's going to tell you if he's anything like the way you're describing, it's possible. He'll say you're crazy and nothing's wrong and he's just tired. And if he does any of that, you have to say, well, all I'm telling you is it's very real for me. This is how I feel when I feel when, not you do this and you do that. This is how I feel when you come home and it seems like you're checked out and you've got your headphones on. You kind of tune me out and I feel, the loss of you. I don't feel your presence. I don't feel connected. And he can tell you this way if he says, oh, you're crazy. It's all in your head. You can be like, it doesn't matter. It's real for me. So
right. And we've had a similar conversation to that.
Okay.
He's been trying to make time for me.
Okay.
But there's still those moments where I'm like, I feel like your video games are the other woman. And I don't know how to compete with them.
And what is he? I think that's like an escape, buddy. It sounds like is it possible he's depressed?
I've wondered about that. I have. I don't know what he wants to do, if that makes sense. Like,
I think he might.
He said that a couple times. He sounds depressed to me.
Yeah. Okay. I think he might be depressed. It sounds like he might be, forgive me for asking. How old is he?
He's 22 and I'm 25.
Jesus. Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. He's a baby. You're dealing with a child. Literally.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just being honest with you. Like, a 22-year-old man is like a baby. I mean, 22 is young, and 22 on a boy is really young.
I know.
And you gotta, you know, you gotta, oh boy. All right. So, okay. You're married, you said?
Yes, we're married.
All right. All right. Here's the good news about how young he is that he has his whole life ahead of him, so there's like a ton of hope. It's not like it's over and he's washed up and there's no future and, you know, he's got his whole life ahead of him. And I think he's just, you know, being in your 20s is not all that it's kind of cracked up to be. And it's funny because when I looked back at my 20s and right, you know, they always say youth is wasted on the young, right? Now that I'm 40, I look back and I'm like, oh, I, you know, wish I had that time again before I was so encumbered with responsibilities and a company and a family and all this stuff that's on my shoulders. And, you know, I miss just that carefree, you know, get drunk and sleep until one in the afternoon. And the thing is, guess what? When I was in my 20s, I was so broke and had nothing and was so lost that all I did was work my ass off and scrape change together to buy gas and food. So it wasn't that glamorous. It's hard. Being in your 20s and trying to figure out what the hell you're going to do with your life and how you're going to support yourself and what's going to happen is a really scary place to be. It's not an easy place to be. The 30s are that kind of magical time where you're like, all right, I finally have an idea of what's going to happen. I finally am starting to feel a little bit more confident about who I am. You know, I finally have a little cash so I can do a little traveling, or I can eat at some nice places, or I can go out to that nightclub and tear it up a little bit. But, you know, he's really in a... Oy. All right. Okay. So you've had this conversation with him, and where did it leave you? He said, I don't really know what I want to do. And he's trying to make time for you.
He's trying to make time for me. And in the evenings, we've been kind of hanging out one-on-one a little bit more after our son goes to sleep to make sure that we're actually communicating and talking and actually just hanging out and having fun.
Yeah.
And that's been really nice. It's been over the course of about a week. There was one day where he said that he was going to quit playing video games entirely so that he could devote more time to us. But that lasted about a day before he changed his mind and went back to it, because I really do think it's a form of escapism for him.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's why I was wondering if he's depressed. And I think he may be. And one of the things that I would do with him is A, keep talking, right? You know, keep talking, keep dialoguing with him, keep those lines of communication open. Constantly validate how much he means to you, but also constantly let him know what you need from him, because that's going to empower him, right? Because he's not a mind reader, and the more he feels like a failure, I think the worse things are going to be. If you had the money to get him into just some therapy right now, I would try.
I've talked to him about therapy, and it's something he's entirely against.
Oh, God. Why?
I mean, I've done therapy myself, and I know how effective it is.
Why is he entirely against it?
I guess it's kind of that macho thing coming out of him. I wouldn't say it's stereotypical of all guys, but for him, he just thinks he doesn't need it.
Right, okay. I would see if you can get him to go to couples counseling with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I would try to get him to go to couples counseling, right? Like a gateway, okay, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And just say, like, I think we need to, you know, we're young. We're young to be married. We're young to be parents. And by the way, I'm not young. And I find all of this stuff unbelievably challenging at my age. So I can only imagine how challenging it must be at your age. And, you know, if I was your age, I'd never be able to do it. Never. So kudos to you to go to school, raise a child. That's incredible. Bravo.
Thank you.
But not everybody has that kind of maturity. And I can completely understand why he's struggling. And I think... get him into counseling, get him talking, get him some support, right? And give each other the tools to support one another and hear each other's needs and try to meet them.
Okay.
What do you think, Manis? I know you're thinking.
I can ask him to do it.
No, you're not asking him to do it. No, you're not. You're saying we need to go. For the sake of our marriage, we need to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an ask.
And I've said similar things, but unfortunately, he's he's the type of guy where he's like, if you think you need therapy, you can go, but it's not for me.
It's not therapy. It's different. It's couples counseling.
I've suggested that too.
Okay, this isn't a suggestion. You need to tell him that you're really, you know, you love him, and, you know, the reality of life is that love isn't enough. Learning how to communicate with each other, learning how to listen to each other, and learning how to support each other is critical. Love is not enough. Okay. I cannot tell you how many relationships break up and the couples loved each other so much. So what? If you don't know how to, if you don't know what your issues are, if you don't know what the other issues of the other person are, if you don't know how to communicate, if you don't know how to support each other, if you don't know what the other person's needs are, and you don't know how to meet them, it doesn't matter how much you love each other. So the reality is, a real man isn't afraid of therapy. If he wants to get macho, you can let him know that. A real man fights through the uncomfortable bullshit to keep, sorry, Janice, to keep his relationship together. And it's not an option. It's an ultimatum if he wants to keep his family together because you guys are drifting apart and you're not being successful on your own. You're not. You're not. So if he wants to keep this family together, this is a necessity. What are you thinking, Janice? I see your face.
Well, the only kind of tweet that I heard in the conversation was the video game thing. Like, I don't know how heavy duty that is, but I don't know, anyone who's experienced knows it all too well that video games, it's a form of addiction.
Yeah.
It's a form of gaming. It's a form of I don't know how heavy that is, but I definitely know it's a distraction.
Illustrates how heavy that is. The night before last, he spent from 5 p.m. until 7 a.m. playing video games.
He did not sleep. Yeah, it's escape. Yeah, he's escaping.
Wow.
It's a major addiction.
Yeah, I think it sneaks up because I think we never want to think, oh no, it's just a way of stress relief, but it can turn into.
Oh. Yeah, no, he's like running from the world.
And he's acknowledged that it's a problem as well. He just doesn't know what to do with himself.
That's why you need to go to counseling to get some answers.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to say. It's about answers. And a person who's strong is willing to look at the places that they need help and get it.
Okay.
It's only, honestly, if it's in a language that he can understand, only cowards can't look at the places. And I'm sorry, this is a really horrible thing to say. It's not actually the way to say it, but if we're going to play the machismo game and you can't move him, then I would use it against him in a way that normally you should never, but really it's a weak thing. To not be able to look at your issues. That's weakness, not strength. It's weakness to not ask for help, not strength. A courageous and strong person looks at where they need help and they get that help and they improve and they move forward.
Okay. I can do that. I can tell them we need it.
And honey, you need to put your foot down because this is going to a place that you're going to break up anyway. So your fear of like giving the thing you're afraid of, which is breaking up, the way you try to avoid breaking up by pussyfooting around this is going to lead your eventual breakup anyway. So what I want you to do is to like dot every I, cross every T, give it everything you've got. And then if he still can't change and he can't progress and he can't evolve, at least should the worst case scenario come, you walk out of this with no regrets. And God forbid, do not stop school. Do not compromise yourself in any way.
I told him I wouldn't. I mean, he kind of asked me to quit. He told me that he wanted me to quit, and I told him that I loved him, but I couldn't do that for him because.
No. Oh, you'll hate him. You'll hate his guts.
If I quit on my dreams, I stop being me.
Yeah, well, and you'll hate his guts. So
that too.
That'll be the end of you anyway. Oh, sweetie, I'm sorry. I wish I could had some sort of simple answer. I don't, and this stuff is complicated, and that's the problem. But I think that's the first place you guys need to go is counseling.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'll make sure that I do everything I can on my part to get us there.
Atta girl. And if you can't, it's not you. Remember that.
Okay.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Thanks for being so generous.
Well, and thank you guys. I really appreciate your show so much. I just wanted to say that I actually listened to Jillian's story about her adoption over the time right after I had my son. And I swear I was in the middle of work and I just started laughing because the exact same thoughts you were having were going through my head. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not alone. So thank you.
See, this is why I did that reality show. All right, buddy.
Thank you.
Oh God, I wish there was a... Oh, Janice.
That's a tough one.
It's a tough one when you're not 22 and 25.
Yeah, I was honestly, I was surprised when 22, I was like, man. Whoa, that changes the, that kind of just changes the whole course of the game in a way.
I've met, you know, there are people that are 42 that are more behind the eight ball than a 22-year-old because they're 20 years of being stuck in your ways. You know, if you age and don't evolve, you get worse.
Yeah.
So, you know, there, to a certain extent, there's something great about the fact that he's 22 because he's, like, still forming. He's still affectable. Nothing's set in stone, you know. Whereas, you know, if you've got 20 years of dysfunction behind you, ugh, it's so much harder to undo.
Tell me, my sister. Tell me.
Look at you.
All right, so we're doing a spot for this company called MacWeldon.com. That's MacWeldon. And they sell underwear, socks, and shirts for dudes. And they've got silver in them, which, to be honest with you, is actually in my face soap because it's antimicrobial. So antifungal, anti-stinky stinks, which I kind of love. I didn't even know you could put that in clothes. I told them men don't listen to the show. I think I've got 5 men that are secure enough to listen to the show. But this is for the ladies out there who can buy their men Mack Weldon stuff so their junk doesn't stink. You know what Nicole did? She used my credit and she bought underwear for T-Major.
Wow.
Yeah, what did he get?
Let's just say I know what kind of underwear T-Major wears now and which colors.
Yeah, large in the front, small in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotta keep it tight.
MacWeldon.com. You can get 20% off using the promo code Jillian, J-I-L-L-I-A-N. Go check it out.